بسم الله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله. We thank Allah for the opportunity to share together. We're in Sacramento, California. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting today from Sacramento, California, a special youth presentation for the Dawah, for the youth, and how can I share Islam with my fellow classmates. And that's more or less going to be our subject. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain for the Nedratul Alameen of Shabab al-Islamiyah. And for the next few minutes, we're going to discuss a little bit about the Dawah for the youth. And then at the same time, we're going to take some question and answers from the youth that are here with us, inshallah. Okay, and first of all, what is Dawah? And Dawah means to call or to invite. And so this is something that is the responsibility of each and every one of the Muslims to call and invite people to the right way. And at a time when the pressure is on our youth, and this is a critical time, our youth are under a lot of pressure to copy the ways of the non-Muslim as opposed to copying Islam or sharing Islam. And so what we find is that instead of us calling them to Islam, it looks like they're calling us to other than Islam or kufr. And this is a very, very sad. Once I recall that a friend of mine, when I first met him, he was from the Gulf, and he told me that he was so excited because he was putting his son in the public school system. And I said then, and I still say the same thing now, that you would be better off to put him in the toilet. And he was shocked, and he said, I don't think you understood me. Maybe my English not so good. I'm trying to put him in public school today. And I said, no, your English is fine. If you understood Imam, the toilet, that's what I said, exactly. And that's where you'd be better off putting him, because at least he can survive that, because you can wash it off. 8 years later, the same brother came to me. We were, by coincidence, in the same state. And I ran into him. He invited us over for kahwa. And while we were sitting on the floor, he reminded me of that occasion. And when I met him, and he said, do you recall what you said? I said, I do. He said, you know, you were wrong. I said, well, maybe I was. He said, you should have told me it was 10 times worse to put him in public school than to put him in the toilet, because my son, I've lost him. I just have totally lost him. And it took several sessions with his son and about a year's negotiation back and forth between the father and the son, even to get them to where they could communicate with each other again. And it was very difficult. And this is the case where the boy's a good boy. It wasn't that he was bad. In fact, he never left his salah, but there were a lot of differences of opinions between him and his dad. In the worst cases, I won't say the very worst, but in cases that are not as good as that one, we found that some of our youth run off, they get in trouble, they get into drugs, they get into alcohol, and some of the girls get in trouble, or they run off with boyfriends, and their parents don't even know what happened to them. And these are some of the worst cases. Sometimes they don't survive long enough to live to even be 20, and that's maybe the worst of all. In any case, what I'm saying is that if we don't do something right now, that it's not just the dawah that we're trying to call somebody else to Islam. We're talking about not having any of our own Muslims here in the near future. So it's very critical that we observe this. I wanted to mention that although there are some very excellent scholars who have come around to help with this problem, very often there's a communication link that's not there. And that's partially due to the fact that the scholars don't have the English language. Partially because the scholars that come don't have a command of the English language or the idioms that go along with it, or in many cases they're not familiar with the ahwal or the conditions that the Muslims are in the various communities. It's difficult for them to be able to communicate this message to its fullest to our youth, and that's sad, because while they're scholars and experts definitely in their field, back home over here very frequently there's a problem. So these are some of the things that we need to be addressing. And for sure, in this subject I want to talk to you today, I want to particularly mention to you, you're the youth, and it's up to you to pay attention to what I'm saying right now. Because if you don't, who's going to tell you? I would like to remind you that I come from the background of the people here, and I understand what they're about. And while you may think you know what it's all about here, I will promise you, you don't. While you think you know that these are your good old boy buddies and everything else, a lot of the people in the West have two faces, the one you see and the one you don't see. And a lot of the times, now I'm speaking to all of us, all ages, a lot of times we see the people of the West are so good and they're so nice, and we praise them, and we have a tendency to look at the Muslims and cut them down, and we criticize the Muslims. But I want to warn you about something. Again, the Muslim, you are seeing the wrong things, and the reason you see it is because Muslims aren't really skilled at covering it up. Alhamdulillah. I want to very clearly address this issue, because unless and until you realize the situation you're in and the situation they're in, you're probably not going to do anything about it. You'll come to your classes and hang out, stare at the ceiling, watch the fan go around, talk to your friends in Arabic a little bit, and then go back home and forget the whole thing. Don't do that. This is for you. This is the only chance you're going to get. The television, the media, the newspapers, the magazine, the radio are not going to present a true picture of Islam. And they're not really going to present a true picture of life itself, because they don't know what it is. A large part of what you're being taught, even in the schools, is not correct. And what is based on some truth is twisted. Now, if there's someone listening to me, especially in the future to this recording, and you think that maybe I've been poisoned against my own country because I became a Muslim, I'm going to tell you something. I've always held this opinion. I don't think any different about that today than I did 50 years ago. But for references, for those that are interested, there's a very interesting book called The Lies My Teacher Told Me, and it's written by a history professor, and it takes to task 12 separate publishers of history books for the public school system in the United States, challenging point after point after point, because what's constantly coming up over and over and over, the things they say are not true or they're twisted. So these are some of the things that we need to address and we need to think about, because when you're going to these schools to become educated according to the Western standard, you're losing a balance, because it's not just a matter of 1 and 1 equals 2 in the math class. And by the way, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know where our numbering system that we use today, where it came from? It came from a Muslim in India who developed the entire system for what we call the Arabic numerals, and the concept of zero was never understood until a Muslim developed it. Additionally, the algebra that we use is coming from the name of the Muslim scholar who developed the idea of allowing a letter to represent an unknown, and his name was Al-Jibr. Oops. And they're not going to tell you these things because they don't want you to realize how much Islam has contributed to the real science that we have in the world today. So all of these things are important and they should be addressed. You should know about them, but you're not going to find out if you don't do some extended classes. And I recommend that you visit our website, because we do post a lot of that on there. Well, our newest website is called Islam Always, and it connects to all the other websites. So you don't have to remember all our websites anymore. You can just go to Islam Always, and it'll take you to whatever we got going. Islam Tomorrow's hooked to it, Islam Yesterday, Today Islam, and many other websites that we have in the system are all coming from Islam Always. Now, I want to talk to you in a couple of stages. First, I'm mentioning that it's important for you to know that the school system has deficiencies. But it doesn't mean I'm telling you not to go to school. What I'm telling you is, don't buy everything they're saying, and find out. Sit with scholars of Islam until you can know what the real truth is. And if you don't know, you can always write to us and we can give you references for things and you can learn. One of the things that I highly encourage you to know more about is astronomy and also the creation of the universe. These subjects were treated by Muslim scholars 1,000 years ago, while the non-Muslims were still under the opinion that the earth was flat. So it's really worth it for you to take time to get your education, in addition to what you're getting in public schools or Islamic schools, is to go to the deeper knowledge which is available. What one of the things that we need to be careful about is the education. Another is socialization. When you begin to socialize with the non-Muslims, it's real easy to pick up their bad habits. And many of the things they have as bad habits, you might not even notice that it's bad, and in some cases you might begin to think that it's actually good. I'd like to give you an example of that. One of the things that non-Muslims do all the time is gossip. They sit and talk about other people and other things all the time. You can get caught up in that real easy because they don't start out by saying, let's talk about somebody behind their back. That's not how it starts out. It starts out by talking about people that are supposed to be celebrities, famous people, sports, music, movies, and characters that people are talking about all the time, and then you begin to talk about them. Because you don't know them, you're never going to meet them, and probably half of what's said about them isn't true anyway. It's not in Islam to do that. But then once you start that, it becomes easier to start to talk about other people, like politicians, teachers, and then pretty soon you're turning on people that you do know pretty good, your friends when they're not there, and then your own relatives, and who knows? These are things that you may not realize are serious. They're real serious. It's not in Islam that we talk about people when they're not there. It's also not in Islam to talk about people when they are there if it's something they wouldn't like to hear said about them. And if you said, that's no big deal, man. Hey, I do it all the time. In this case, it means you're already in very bad shape. And when you start talking back to your parents, you're this close to going out of Islam. When you start talking back to your parents and insulting them and disobeying them, watch what will happen to you on the Day of Judgment. All your prayers, all your fasting, all your charity becomes null and void. Wasted, because Allah, He doesn't need you. And if you can't treat your parents with respect, then Allah, He don't need you. Simple as that. Very, very serious. Now, some of you will tell me, and I receive a lot of email from the youth, that says things like, well, you know, my parents are really hard on me. They want me to do this, they want me to do that, and I don't want to do it. In Surah Al-Luqman, chapter 31 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you must obey your parents, except when they want you to do something that's not in Islam. So if your parents told you don't pray, or tell a girl not to wear the hijab, or tell the boy that it's not good to hang out at the masjid, well, that's not true. That's not right. And somebody needs to talk to them. Maybe the imam can talk to them, or somebody that's, you know, in the community could speak to them about the subject. But I would like to give you a piece of advice to help you dealing with your parents. Because sometimes you want to get your point across and they don't want to listen. A very good piece of advice is to watch for the right time, because for sure they're not going to listen when they're trying to talk to you. But if you wait till they're not busy or they're not all involved, especially they're not trying to tell you something, and you go up and say, may I say something or ask you something, and they put down their newspaper or whatever, and they're sitting there and say, yeah, go ahead. You say, well, I had an idea about something, and maybe you can just think about it. I'd like to go to the masjid. My friends are going to spend the night there tonight, and I'd like to spend the night because, you know, it's going to be a sleepover in the masjid. If they said, well, you know, we don't like you to, for instance, the sisters, they say, we don't like you to wear the hijab, we're afraid he's going to shoot you in the street. Or we don't want people to know Muslims live in our house. They see you wear the hijab over here, then, you know, our house is marked. Well, tell them, I see what you're saying, but can we talk to the imam in the masjid and maybe he can help us? Of course, if the imam agrees with him, now you got a new problem. But hopefully you won't have that problem. Some of the other things, that when you see people doing something over and over, you get used to it and you don't think it's bad anymore. For instance, people eating pork. If you see somebody eating pork day after day after day, it's no big deal anymore. Especially when they say, try it, it's not bad. And maybe you test it, you said, oh gee, that's not that bad. So you think there's nothing to it. But Allah ordered you not to do it. Or alcohol. And somebody's telling you, oh, it's bad, it's horrible, you know, alcohol can mess you up, and you say, well, I just drank a little bit, and it was kind of fun, I felt kind of stupid, but it was fun. But the first time you do anything is the most important time. The first time is the most important time, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you only have one chance to do it the first time. After that, it becomes real easy. If a person never had drugs, never had alcohol, never smoked, never ate pork, then it would be real difficult to go to them and try to talk them into it. But if they'd already done it once, even once, then shaitan is coming to them, and the shaitan of the people is coming to them and saying to them, hey, you did it before, what's one more time? And after two or three, hey, no problem, it's no big deal. All my friends are doing it. They do it more than I do. And you see where the problem is. Everybody follow me? I'm sure you have friends, Muslim friends, that are not here today. But you know them and you see they're in trouble. And you're thinking, wow, what happened to them? And you'd like to advise them. But how can you? Because if you say anything to them, they're going to make fun of you, aren't they? If you say anything, why don't you go to the masjid with, oh man, that's not cool, this is cool, right? Isn't that what they say? If you tell a sister, how come you don't wear hijab? She'll say, oh, you're so old fashioned. Have you heard that one? That's old fashioned, we're modern. We don't do that, we're modern. If you ask the boys, why are you guys wearing shorts, man? Showing your knees, it's not Islam. Ah, it's no big deal, man. All you're doing is showing your disrespect for yourself. And shaitan is winning with you from the beginning. You're the loser. Because eventually, you go from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another. And then when it's too late, you can't get back. What are you going to do? I'll give you an example of something else. You might think, well, pork's not a big deal. Alcohol's not a big deal. Maybe drugs, but not if you don't do too much, or just certain kinds. Adam, alayhi salam, is the father of all of us. He was in Jannah, but Allah put him out after he did what? Did Adam kill somebody? No. He steal something? Did he eat pork? Did he chase after the girls? Huh? No. The thing that he was told not to do was not to eat fruit from a certain tree. That's it. But did it. And that sin was so big to him that he felt horrible about it. He felt horrible about it, and he cried to Allah to forgive him, and he put his head down on the ground and asked Allah to forgive him. He was the first human to put his head on the ground. Of course, he was the first human too. How is it that we can do a lot more than that, and it doesn't even bother us? We don't even worry about asking Allah to forgive us. Now I want to move to another part of my subject today. And that is, supposing that you would like to talk about Islam with other people. Now, I already told you about your parents. If you want to talk to your parents about Islam, you don't tell them, this is Islam, that's not Islam, Allah said that in the Quran, or this is the Hadith. Because if you do, they're not going to listen to you, are they? I know firsthand some youth who tried that with their parents, and it didn't work. They called them extremists. Fundamentally. So don't do that. You've got to think about someone their age or on their level who can talk to them in a good way. Now, how can you make dawah to other Muslims? You see them, they don't pray, they don't follow Islam. What will you do? How will you deal with it? What can you say to them? One of the things that you want to be real careful about is you do not want to drive them further away from Islam. And if you see a girl, for instance, and she's not wearing hijab, and she's wearing shorts, and she doesn't pray, she doesn't fast, and she's hanging out with a bunch of bad people, and you walk up to her and say, "You didn't fast Ramadan," what do you think she's going to tell you? You got it. That's real good. And by the way, that's without the cuss words, isn't it? Let me share with you what happened one time. Anybody here ever heard of Imam Siraj Wahaj? One time, after a speech that he gave, two African-American Muslim sisters came to him and got right in his face. And they said, "Imam, why do it say in the Quran you got to wear hijab?" That's what they said. He said, "I couldn't think of anything when they said it. It was so, you know, shocking to see two Muslim sisters come up and speak this way." And by the way, it's twice in the Quran, Surah Nur and Surah Ahzab, about the subject. He said, "But you know what came in my mind?" He said, "I just asked them, 'Excuse me, sisters, do you pray? Do you make salat?'" They said, "No." He said, "Then you've got a whole lot bigger problem than hijab right now." So we see that there's a level or an order of things to come with first. Certain order. The first thing, all of us need to think about Allah. If you think about Allah, the one who created you and gave you life and who gives you a brain to think with, gave you your eyes, your ears, and he gave you the ability to choose, and you think about Allah, the one who created heaven and hell, and you think about Allah, the one who's going to judge you after you die, if you think about that first, then it gets easier to pray. But if somebody just walks up to you and say, "Pray." "Yeah, right. I'll go through the motion. Who cares?" But ask yourself, if you were staying home alone, not like the movie, by the way, but if you were staying home and your folks said, "We'll see you tomorrow morning," and you're going to be home for a whole day, what would you really do? And nobody's going to know but you. You got an Xbox. You got a whole stack of videos. You got a bunch of video games. You got cable TV. You got pizza. All you got to do is pop it in a microwave. You got Cokes and Pepsis and stuff all over the place. Plus, they said, "Here's the credit card. If you need anything, you can just like pick up the phone and call for more pizza and stuff. And if you have any friends that'd like to come over, you can feed them too." What will you do? Ask yourself a question. Would the first thing that comes to your mind be to ask your parents for a prayer schedule? No. It's not going to happen. That's the truth. That wouldn't be the first thing. You might think about it, but the first thing you're going to think about is how much fun you're going to have. So when it comes time to pray, what will you do? Nobody's going to know. First will be, let's say, Dhuhr comes. And you say, "Well, I'll pray later." Because maybe your folks have one of those alarm clocks that goes off with a Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you know, when it's time to pray. Okay, so maybe you, I don't have wudu, so I'll wait when the movie's over. Then all of a sudden it's time for us. And you're going, "Yeah, right, whatever. But I'm right in the middle of a video game." Then it's time for Maghrib, Isha. And then you stay up all night long until your eyes are falling out of your head. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you fall asleep on the floor right by an unfinished pizza. Got to get that new tooth fixed. Anyhow, so you see, when you wake up now, it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. You're going to run in and make wudu real quick and pray? Really and truly, I'm asking you, don't answer me, answer yourself. It happened many years ago, the story goes, that a scholar of Islam had a group of youth that he was teaching about Islam. And they said that they had some goats, and he offered each one of his students a goat, and he asked him to take a knife and go somewhere where nobody can see you and slaughter the goat and bring the meat back. We're going to give it out for charity or something, you know. So all of the students left to go wherever they wanted to go, different places, to slaughter their goats and bring the meat back. They all came back except one. His name was Abrar. And he Finally came back, but he had the goat with him, and it was still walking, going, and the little tail shaking behind it, you know. Everybody started laughing at him, you know. What happened, man? And they said maybe he was afraid to, you know, try to kill it or something. He didn't have They were laughing. Chef told everybody, sit down. They sat down. He said, okay, now. Everybody got their meat. Let's see. Okay. Abrah, your goat's still standing. Why? He said, sir, I took the goat into the mountains, and I took him into the valley, I took him into the forest, and I took him into the desert. And everywhere I went, I was trying to find a place where nobody could see me. But I knew that wherever I went, Allah could always see me. So I tried to follow exactly what you said, and there isn't any place except Allah sees me, and He knows what I'm doing. And the Sheikh said, Abrar is the only one who understood today's lesson. Everywhere you go and everything that you do is known to Allah all the time. In fact, He knows you're going to do it before you do it. You don't. He's not punishing you for what He makes happen, but He will punish you for your decisions and your choices. While you're young, it's very difficult to realize how critical this can be. But as you get older, you begin to see it more and more and more. When it's too late is usually when most people wake up. Usually, when people figure it all out, it's too late and there's nothing they can do about it. I want to share with you another little story, and this is something that you can share even with a non-Muslim. You can tell them that, you know what, we believe in God. He's one, and He has no partners, and He created everything. But He didn't create everything for a foolish purpose. What Allah creates, He has a purpose for it. Would you like to know what your purpose is? Why Allah created you? What do you think they're going to say? They'll say, sure, I'd like to know. You tell them Allah created you to do something while you're here on this earth. And if you do it, things could work out pretty good for you. But if you don't, you could be in a lot of trouble. He said He created you in a test to see if you'll worship Him the way He wants you to. That's what life's about. And then you can tell them the story about the rock. Any of you ever heard the story of the rocks? It goes something like this. A group of people were traveling, and it became necessary for them to keep going even through the night, so they kept walking and walking and walking. At one point, they got some small rocks that were very hard and very sharp, and it hurt their feet even cutting through their sandals. It was so dark, there was no moon or anything, and they were just trying to get through those rocks, you know, trying to get across this area. Suddenly, a voice said to them, could have been an angel, said to them, some people will pick up some of these rocks and take them along with them, but they will regret it. And some people will not take any of these rocks, and they will regret it. And people got confused, and they said, wait a minute, if I take rocks, I'm not going to like it? But if I don't take the rocks, I'm not going to like it? Wait a minute. So some people said, well, let me go ahead and take some of the rocks and see what it is I'm going to regret, you know. And the other one said, why should I carry rocks on a trip and then regret it anyway? So they didn't take any. And as they were walking, they got out of the rocks and back on the sand and kept going. Pretty soon the sun came up. After the sun got up a little bit, the ones that had the rocks remembered the voice that came to them. They said, hey, well, let's see what's wrong with those rocks. Reached in their pockets and saddlebags or whatever they had, and they pulled them out and looked. And they weren't rocks. They were diamonds. And all the people that didn't pick up any said, oh, we regret we didn't pick up any of the rocks. Exactly what the voice told them. And the ones that did pick them up said, oh, we regret we didn't pick up more of them. And that's the way life is. When you finally wake up on the day of judgment, the regret is going to be, why didn't I do more of the things that would help me today? Why didn't I send something ahead for this day? How many of you memorized Surah Al-Fajr? How many of you know that's exactly what I'm talking about? That's exactly toward the end of Search for Treasure, when the Kaffir says, why didn't I send something ahead for this day? And certainly the Muslim's going to say, why didn't I do more? Make sense? And this is a way for you to explain our beautiful way of life to a person that's not a Muslim. Let them see that we have something that we're working for. Islam is something beautiful, but it's a whole way of life. Islam is more than just how to pray or read the Quran or come to the mosque, isn't it? Islam is teaching us how to deal with people. We already talked about dealing with your parents and your relatives and friends. We talked about how you'll deal with your classmates. But also, it tells us in Islam how to eat, how to drink, how to sleep, even how to go to the bathroom. There's no other religion on the earth that covers all the details necessary for the human being by the manufacturer. You've got an owner's manual, the Quran. You've got an operator's manual, the Hadith. And it's real simple if you really want it. It's up to you, and you begin by asking Allah. All the things that you'll ever do, start out by asking Allah. Would you like to have a real cool life? Who would really like to be cool? Want to talk about cool? I'm talking about super cool. Because your friends at school are going to tell you, man, that ain't cool. But I'm going to tell you about what's cool. By the way, we were talking about that in the car today. Remember, I went back to the 50s and told you about the first people ever used the word cool? Remember that? 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now. And it's no different. People still saying the same thing. They want to be cool. For us as Muslim, we like that. That's a perfect term. Cool. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to be cool in this life. Because he explained anger is becoming hot. He said it's from shaitan. You know, shaitan is made from a smokeless fire, and he runs through you like your blood. You get angry, you get hot. He told you to what? La tugdub, be cool. La tugdub, be cool. That's the Texas translation, by the way. Don't get angry. Stay cool. One time, Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, he's sitting with Rasul Saiflam, and some turkey head came up there. That's Texas translation. Full on turkey head. Came up to him, and he said to him some bad stuff, insulted him, said things against him, his family like that. He just kept sitting there, didn't do anything, just like cool, cool, check out the cool, cool. And then the man began to insult like the Rasul Islam or something about Islam, and all of a sudden Abu Bakr went, whoa, jumped up, man. But when he did, Rasul Islam got up and he left. Now when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw that, he went, whoa, wait a minute, hold it. And he chased after Rasul Islam, caught up to him, he said, hey, you got up and left. Why? He said, as long as you were being cool, the angels were standing behind you saying, Abu Bakr's on the hawk, cool. He's on the hawk, cool. But the minute you got hot, angry, and jumped up, the angels left. And I don't sit in gatherings without angels. So, this is talking about being cool here. Be cool. I ask Allah, forgive me for giving a little bit of, you know, stretch on the meanings, but I think you get the gist. Another point is, when you're resurrected, you're going to get another body. You're going to be brought back on the plain of Arafat, and you're going to be real. It's going to be real. All dead people are going to be back. They're going to have a body, and it's going to be real hot. Real hot. So hot, because the sun, Allah is going to bring it so close that people are going to be sweating so much, they're going to be standing in their own sweat. Hot. Really hot, and no shade, no will anywhere except the shade of Allah. Allah is going to have some shade that He's going to make there for some people, but these are not just average people. These are the ones who do certain really good things. Wouldn't you like to know what they are? Well, guess what? The list, oh darn, I guess you'll have to come back to the next class on that one. But the people on that day that stand in the shade, they're not going to be hot. They're going to be cool. So see, Islam's all about being cool. And then after the day of judgment, some people are going to go to Jannah. And some are going to go to hell where it's really, really hot. Their skin's going to be burnt off and put on and burnt off again. But those that go to the Jannah are going to be cool. So Islam's all about being cool. But by the way, stealing stuff, lying, leaving the salat, talking back to your parents, cheating on your homework, alcohol, drugs, smoking. Smoking. How can smoking be cool? How? You're lighting something up on fire and sucking smoke down in your lungs and choking on it, probably going to get cancer from it, and you're saying, hey, I'm cool. No, wrong. That ain't cool. That's drool. Islam is about being the real cool in this life, the day of judgment, and the next life. When your friends see you being real cool, they're going to want to know, why don't you do what we do? You say, because I don't want to go where you're going. Why don't you get on the bus that we're on? Because I don't want to go that way. You have a chance. Let me share something with you. You might like to know this. There's a special place that Allah has for the youth who really become involved in Islam and never waver. They stay in Islam and they work in Islam and they never go out here and get all messed up and then have to try to get their way back. The ones that go get messed up, they can come back. Allah will forgive them if they do it before they die. But they'll never have that high status for those who get busy with Islam while they're young and stay with it and work. That's a very special person to Allah, who while they're still young, they begin to study His book and they work toward sharing Islam with other people. And they are definitely the most cool of all cool. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up with that. This is a special program that we just did sort of on the fly today, and I'm glad we had the chance to be with all of you. And we ask Allah to accept from all of us, and for any mistakes, I ask Allah to forgive me. Visit us on the internet at www.islamalways.com. We're open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking.